everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year A. In Exodus, God speaks the Ten Commandments. In Philippians, Paul takes out the garbage and keeps running for the sake of knowing Christ. In Matthew, Jesus tells another parable to get the attention of leaders who have gone astray. Let's use multiple intelligence preaching to clear a straight path for our flocks to follow God's righteousness.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary and use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. If you'd like to, you can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year A, Ordinary 27, is from Exodus chapter 20, a strange selection of verses. We're going 1, 4, 7, 9, and 12 through 20, leaving off the ones in between, I guess, maybe just for time.
Too much detail, yeah.
I guess, yeah. I've got an editor in there going, no, cut that out, We don't need that. Anyway, this is the Ten Commandments, the giving of the words. As it starts in the very first verse, then God spoke all these words. And then you got a lot of words. And we're going to go down to verse 18, because this isn't always attached to the reading of the words, which is that when the people witnessed the thunder and the lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and they trembled and they stood at a distance and they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we'll listen. Don't let God speak to us or we'll die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." That weighs into some of what we're looking at later, so that's why we added that. So we're looking at four of the intelligences for this particular passage. We're looking at word smart with both illustration and special effect, an illustration for music smart, and illustrations and special effects in nature and self smart. Kind of an unusual selection, but we think we've got some good stuff. So let's start with word.
So word smart is not one that we do all the time, because so much of what we do in worship has to do with words and just talking. But we've got a couple things here that I think are kind of cool. This passage of the giving of the commandments is one of those foundational stories, not only for the Hebrews, but for Christians as well. You know, the foundational stories, they're the ones that you tell when you're sitting around after the meal at the holidays. And what was it like when?
Or you remember that time when?
Yeah. And the stories that the grandparents tell over and over and over.
Right? Yeah, so, grandma.
Yeah. How did you meet your significant other? Or how did your parents meet? Or how did the congregation get started and chartered? And how did you come to make that important decision that changed the direction of your life? Those kinds of stories. So those are some illustrations for you. You can talk about those sorts of stories, or maybe offer one or two of your own of those stories. Then for special effect, we have a quote from Terence Fredheim at Working Preacher. He says, "Might the problem of idolatry for us often be verbal images? Our ideas about God and the verbal images we use for God can be idolatrous. They often have as high a standing in our thinking and speaking about God as God does himself." So that would connect, of course, with the first and second commandments about idolatry and whom to worship and how.
Yeah. And the idea there being that the words we use to talk about God sometimes just get in the way. So if you particularly think of God as being a judge or God as being angry, that gets in the way of hearing of God being merciful and compassionate.
Right.
And vice versa. Or, if you only hear compassion and mercy, you don't always hear that God does come with judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or God himself, for example.
Exactly. Yes, that too.
So either before the service or while the scripture is read, encourage people to make a list of words that they associate with God, and then ask them to compare their list with their neighbor's list and see if there's anything different, and talk about why they're different and why they're the same. Why do those words come to mind, and are different words surprising or challenging?
For Music Smart, I was reading a commentary by Tom Long in the Christian Century who said, "The good news of the God who set people free is the music. The commandments are dance steps of those who hear it playing." The title of his article is called Dancing the Decalogue. Hmm. And that got me to thinking about the idea that the commandments are freedom, liberation, got me to thinking about the refrain from a song by Aretha Franklin called Think. In the middle of it, she just starts singing freedom, freedom, freedom. And so as I was reading that, that came to mind. And so I got to thinking more about what songs are there out there about freedom? So I went to the website Ranker that has a list of the top 75 popular songs with freedom as a topic. And believe it or not, Freebird is at the top of the list. But it's kind of split as to whether or not it should be Freebird up there at the top. Yeah. And then in that same vein, hymnary.org has a listing of about 498 hymns with the topic of freedom or liberation. So you got a lot of music options to choose from there.
You know what might be interesting, too, is to consider some liturgical dance, which would end up being body smart, but ways of dancing the commandments.
Oh, that would be interesting. I like that a lot.
Just thought of that. So
I'm going to put that in there.
Bonus material. So for Nature Smart, considering things about natural elements and also categorizing things. Around verse 18, which says...
About the thunder and the lightning and the sound of the trumpet.
Right. We have a quote from Scott Hosey from the Center for Excellence in Preaching, who says, "The words very nearly laid waste to the entire landscape around the mountainside and were as frightening to the ordinary hoi polloi of Israel as if a dangerous tornado were swirling their way." Going along with that, we'll just pop over to the special effect, which is also kind of an eye thing because it's a video clip, but it comes from the movie from 1995 called Moses, starring Ben Kingsley. And I think it was one of the Turner Broadcasting series.
Oh, yeah, very likely, because it was a television movie.
Yeah, yeah. And it shows how nature responds to Yahweh's presence and how the people respond to Yahweh's speaking.
And it's pretty much those verses.
Yeah.
Almost verbatim.
Yeah, but it's got a few interesting twists in it. And it's one of my favorite clips about this scene. The wind is just howling down the valley, and Moses is just standing there
in rapture.
Rapture. He's just loving it, and all the people are just cowering behind
him.
Well,
they're freaking. Well, the wind is blowing sand into their faces, and they're screaming and running.
And this trumpet blast is coming along with it, and whether it's the sound of the wind, or I mean, it's just, it sounds like the shofar, you know, and he's like, "Don't be afraid. It's the voice of God. Listen." And he's just having a ball with it, and they're terrified. But it turns around toward the end, so it's really neat.
Yeah.
So
go look at the clip.
Have a look at the clip for an illustration along with verse 18 again. That same passage. Recent studies show evidence that immersion in natural surroundings can be beneficial to people's psyche, for example, in resetting attention or reducing depression and anxiety and increasing creativity. And we have links to some articles that talk about these different effects.
Is this like going to the mountains or the lake or something like that? Someplace peaceful and beautiful?
Yeah. Okay. And wide open and all that sort of thing.
The things that touch your soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Cool.
These are apparently acutely related to modernity and our distance from nature because of urbanization and staring at screens all the time. So that getting out in nature resets a lot of things in our brains. But the exposure to the intensity of the natural surroundings at Sinai may not have had that same sort of calming effect from the sound of the story. They were terrified.
Those verses,
because, and it would sort of be like, instead of going for a weekend at the lake, it would be standing on the edge of an erupting volcano, and you know, which is sort of what was going on there.
We're watching a tsunami come in, maybe.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know,
that might would be a little stress.
That
inducing.
Might produce more stress than not.
For Self-Smart, we're looking kind of at the whole idea of the thou shalt not commandments. We're looking at those, and it's been suggested that the subconscious mind doesn't process the word don't, so that your focus actually becomes the object of the prohibition. Don't commit adultery. I'm going to commit adultery.
Oh, all I can think about is adultery.
It was like Captain Kirk and Spock. Don't do the thing. I must do the thing. Yeah, we've actually referenced that before.
Yeah. Don't think about an elephant.
Dang it. So we have a link of one person's experience of not being able to process the word don't in playing golf. So we have a link to that. It's a very interesting story about somebody who continually shanks his ball into the water and gets to the point where he can't not do it. Mm-hmm. So there's some psychological
conditioning. Don't hit it in the water. Don't hit it in the water. Don't.
So there's some psychological conditioning that he has to go through to recover from that. So perhaps this is why Jesus summarized the commandments in more positive terms. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turned it around so that you don't hear the word don't.
Nice. So, I see what you did there.
Ha, thanks. We also have a link, a good follow-up to the experiment above, clarifying how the subconscious processes statements, primarily looking for an emotion to attach to the statement. So there's some connection with emotions and subconscious and prohibitions. For a special effect for Self-Smart, provide or invite the congregation to develop a list of emotional responses involved with the prohibitions of the commandments and the fulfillment or the inverses or contrapositives of the thou shalt nots. So, for example, what emotions go along with worshiping a God other than the one who brought you out of slavery? And what emotions for the perpetrator and the victim go with murder or adultery? What's the emotional load of faithfulness, helpfulness, or contentedness? And where do you want to live emotionally?
Okay, let's go on. The New Testament lesson for the 27th week of Ordinary Time, year A, is Philippians 3, verses 4b to 14. Oddly, we did this passage last year in year C, Lent 5, so you can take a look at our worksheet for that episode as well. We'll have a link for you there at the show notes at morethanhearing.org. But we have some fresh stuff for you here. Mm-hmm. So this passage is where Paul is talking about his confidence and reasons to be confident. And so he gives his CV, all the reasons why he's an awesome Jew. And then he says, I would throw it all away. In fact, I count it all as
and then
rubbish.
Uses a word that is,
rubbish, dung, all of it is crap.
Yeah.
If you
was thinking of another one, but yes.
For the sake of knowing Christ, that has changed everything. And he wants a righteousness based on Christ, not on the law, which is what he had been doing before. And he doesn't believe that he has attained it yet, but he presses on toward the goal to make it his own as Christ has made him his own. So forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. So that's pretty cool. We're going to look at Math Smart, and we have both illustration and special effect. Body Smart, both illustration and special effect, and a few illustrations in Music Smart, and a special effect in People Smart.
All right, well, we'll start with Math Smart with an illustration based on verse 7, counting it all as loss. I was reading some commentary, and I forget where, but the person that I was reading quoted, referenced Fred Craddock, and so I'm paraphrasing this person's reference of Fred Craddock, telling a story about a missionary family in China that was forced to flee after the communists took over the country after the revolution, or I guess during the revolution. So this family, they had 2 hours to pack only 200 pounds of belongings before they were going to be shipped out. So they had a great deal of argument over heirlooms and practical appliances and tools until they had all their worldly possessions down to 200 pounds on the dot. And so the soldiers return in the 2 hours and ask if they had everything weighed and ready. And yes, they say. And so the soldiers say, "Did you weigh your children?" And then suddenly, the typewriter, the heirloom vase, the books, they were all thrown out because none of those meant anything to the surpassing value of their children.
That's a great story.
Yeah. So
that'll preach.
Yeah, it sure will. Yeah, use this one.
Yeah.
Want to hear it? So there's an excellent illustration of the logic that Paul is demonstrating in these verses.
And the math. I mean, trying to figure out the 200 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So then for a special effect, like looking at verses 8 and 9, we have an article, a link to an article about righteousness as a legal term. This also kind of fits in WordSmart as well. And you can see how we use it in WordSmart if you go to our worksheet at our show notes. But think of it in terms of a legal term and then invite a lawyer to discuss righteousness with respect to the law. And here are some questions you can ask. Is righteousness the same as compliance with the law? And are there situations in the legal system in which compliance with the law is not the most just answer?
Hmm.
So when is complying with the law unrighteous? And when is it righteous to not comply?
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting question.
Yeah.
And if you read that article, that'll give you some other directions to go with your thinking as well. Going to Body Smart, verses 10 through 14, Paul is talking here about pressing on, and he's using some very athletic language about this transformation that's happened and his striving and his longing to belong to Christ and to win the resurrection. And he's pressing on toward the goal. And so for Body Smart, we got to thinking about various and sundry training montages from movies.
Hope Rocky's in there.
We've got a link here to a collection of about 7.
Okay. I haven't watched the link, so I don't know who's in there.
And they said, we could have done just all the Rocky movies, which I think is close to 7 now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
If you count Creed.
Yeah.
They just did Rocky 3 and Rocky 4.
Oh.
But those sorts of things where the person goes from being all loose and flabby and schlubby and incapable to being a
lean, mean fighting machine,
well-honed athlete who overtakes the skill of their coach usually, you know. So there's that. And we also have a link to TV Tropes, which we've mentioned a number of times lately. And that website, they have a page about training montages. So you can either use the training montage as an illustration, or you can talk about the trope of the montage as an illustration. And then we also have a link to the origin of marathons, which is the Greek messenger who ran the 26.2 miles from the Battle of Marathon to report
that they had won.
That they had won and dropped dead. So for special effect, do your own training montage, either on video or live in person there, and complete with theme music and doing some push-ups and sit-ups and jogging in place and jogging up and down the aisles maybe and jumping rope and all those sorts of things that they do in those montages. And if that's not something that people would ordinarily expect from you, then go ahead and make it funny and ironic or pathetic or whatever, you know, if that suits your condition better. But the point is that we're trying to get in shape here. So then going on to Music Smart, we've got a couple of things just to connect with that. And that would be a couple of the songs that just get reworked for these montages. Gonna Fly Now from the Rocky movies.
And
Eye of the Tiger also, I think. If it's so, sorry for the earworms. Something a little more faithful that you could maybe use for your montage would be, I have decided to follow Jesus, but you'd have to pep it up a bit. And then another secular song that kind of captures that pressing on, going on in verses 12 to 14 is Going the Distance by Cake. And we have a link to a...
He's going the distance.
Dun, 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 dun.
He's going for speed.
And we have a link to
a video.
Yes, we do. We have a link to a video that is not the official video, but it's a collection of race videos from movies.
Yes.
Race clips from different movies.
Cool. I hope Cars shows up in that one.
Cars is not in that one.
Good heavens.
Yeah. But the pod race from episode one and Seabiscuit and Days of Thunder.
So any kind of race, not just car races.
Yeah.
Cool. Finally, for People Smart, we're looking at a special effect based on verse 12b. We suggest get one of those matching heart necklaces, you know, those kind that you get for your BFF, and show it as an illustration of the reciprocity of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus gets your heart, you get his. All right, let's go on. The gospel lesson for year A, Ordinary 27, comes from Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46. This is another parable that Jesus tells in the context of being in a difficult situation with the Pharisees and the chief priests. It's about a landowner who plants a vineyard and has his slaves go to collect produce, and bad things happen to them. Finally, he sends his son. Bad things happen to him, too. So he asks the Pharisees a pointed question about what's going to happen to the tenants who have treated this landowner's slaves and son so horribly. And they say, well, duh, violence. And so Jesus quotes to them Psalm 118, the stone the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's amazing in our eyes. And the chief priests and the Pharisees finally figure out, hey, he's talking about us. And so they get angry and they want to have him arrested. Which is what you do when you figure out satire is pointed at you. Right? So we have four of the intelligences we're going to look at for this particular passage. We have both illustration and special effect in iSmart and NatureSmart. And we have illustrations in body and self-smart. So let's go to iSmart.
We have some info on ancient vineyards and wine presses, and we've got a link to an article about such things that you can take a look at. It talks about how and why you would set up the vineyard in the way that you would, and like for a hedge around it, that you'd dig a trough basically around it, and you'd pitch the dirt up on the inside so you get a rampart kind of thing. And then they didn't have barbed wire, of course, so they put whatever else they could put along the top, like thorns and broken glass
bushes.
And whatever.
Broken glass, really?
Yeah. And the idea was between the trough and the hill and the prickly bits that would keep out critters and robbers and whatnot all.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I suppose it would work against bears? That's what we get in our vineyards around here.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Depends on how determined the bears are, I guess. And everybody else.
Indeed.
Anyway, it has that sort of information. And then that the wine press was generally dug out of the bedrock, which was limestone, which was easy
to carve
and also held the wine very nicely. So
cool.
So, yeah. Some interesting stuff there about the space of the vineyard. Mm-hmm. And then pressing that into the special effect, let your people imagine that your sanctuary is the vineyard. And so here's the hedgerow around it, and that's going to be the wall of your sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And see now, here's the watchtower, which might be, I don't know, the choir loft perhaps, or maybe it would be the pulpit.
Depends on which one's higher.
Maybe. It also kind of depends on the function that you want to think about. And then also then the wine press. And so is that the pulpit or where you stomp out the grapes and let the wine flow out to the people? Or is the communion table going to be the wine
where
press?
Where there may literally be wine.
Where there might be. Or where the people bring the fruit of their labor to be
nice.
Processed. Right. So however you choose to do that. And then if that's the case, then the pulpit is, you know, watching over the process and trying to direct the process. Right? And then here are all the rows of the vines themselves. And that's the pews full of people and whether or not they're producing good fruit or not. And so just turning your whole space into a different space.
Cool. You could actually even use decorations and props if you want to go that far.
You could.
Not just rely on people's imaginations.
Yep.
That could be a lot of fun. If you choose to do that, let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
For Body Smart, we have an illustration. A couple of different illustrations. The violence in the parable that ends in the parable is really not unfamiliar either to the listeners in Jesus' day or our own. Think about turf wars, growing impatience with slow responses to aid, food and water riots, military coups, road rage. So there's an awful lot out there that can get people to be resentful and bitter toward one another that then can sometimes spill over into violence. We have a link to an article that talks about how stressed out people revert to the coping skills of the toddler brain, characterized as highly reactive, volatile, self-obsessed, that has bad judgment. Not perhaps the problem of the tenants, they were just wicked, but maybe it's more common as an everyday phenomenon in our own time.
Of course, maybe it was the problem of the tenants.
It could be. Who knows?
I don't know. They're fictional characters, so they have their own motivation.
Right.
For Nature Smart, fruit from a tree or any plant eventually becomes another tree or plant. The whole circle of life thing, you know. But in the meanwhile, it also benefits birds and animals and insects and other plants by budding and putting out leaves and flowering and bearing fruit and all the things that they do. And some of the fruit is eaten and some of it lands on the ground and some of it replants and becomes next year's parent organism, parent plant. So a fruit-bearing plant serves many creatures other than itself by making fruit, and it does not act in isolation, sort of like people in a church, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So that could work. Then verse 44 in the passage says that the one who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. So bring in a large-ish but manageable building stone, you know, some kind of sandstone or limestone or maybe even granite, and have it in a prominent place. And then to demonstrate this verse, drop some kind of earthenware on it, a jar or a mug or something, and let it smash to bits.
Ooh.
Ooh. And then pick up the stone and drop it on another piece of stoneware, or maybe to get a giggle, drop it on an egg. See?
Splat.
Yeah. You know, then if Christ is that stone, what does it say about our salvation? You know, it could end up being a pretty harsh judgment there. But what if it's our ego that's being shattered and not our souls?
Or something that's binding us.
Yeah.
Could be our egos.
For the tenants, it's their self-absorption and mm-hmm. their greed,
mm-hmm.
right? And so those things that are going on in us that don't yield to the
good
will
fruit.
Of God,
right?
Then those need to be crushed out. And so there you go.
Cool.
So a different way of thinking about that than just, you're going to hell. Which may be true anyway. I don't know. But
well, I hope not.
I hope not too. And then as a bonus special effect, once you've smashed the egg, then make it appear perhaps as if you are pulling out fruit from underneath the stone. Have a bunch of grapes maybe under the table where you're doing this and pull those out so that you're bringing out the fruit of the kingdom. I know, it's pretty cheesy.
Well, actually, as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, you better be careful dropping a big stone on a table. It could crush the table.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You'll want to practice this, I
suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always a good idea to practice the special effects.
Always. Always. Indeed. And finally, for Self-Smart, we're looking at the idea of this being a kingdom parable. And Brian Stoffergen at Crossmark says basically that if a kingdom is used as God's rule over us rather than a place, then taking away the kingdom means not that we're being booted out of a place, that we're booted out of a realm or
Or that you're going to hell.
You're not being booted out of anything. It just means that God is no longer going to rule over us. We've rejected that rule, essentially. And so we're left on our own.
That'll work.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's kind of like a parent telling a selfish, stubborn child, you don't want my help? Good. Do it yourself. And walking away. And then kid realizes, I have to do this on my own. Reaping the fruit.
The harvest.
Reaping the fruit of your own bad behavior.
Yeah. That actually shows up as a theme in Romans, too, when Paul is talking about that he abandoned them to
the desires of their heart. Yeah.
That's the wrath of God. It's not God coming in to squash you. It's God lets you do what you want.
Right. And wow, boy, that can be punishment in and of itself.
Ain't that the truth?
Indeed. Well, on that cheery note, we're finished.
By the way, we posted a video to go along with last week's special effect from the Philippians passage about the tornado tube.
Yeah. So it worked really well. What you did in worship, it worked really well.
Cool. Thanks. So you can have a look at it. It's an ex post facto video of me using the prop, and it's on our Facebook page. So you can go have a look at it. It's about 45 seconds long, and you can see how it looks.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or give us a tweet @morethanhearing, or you can email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe you get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would really love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship preparation.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so that you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe there directly. If you like the show, you can help us by writing a review at iTunes, as it helps other people find us more easily, and also by sharing the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.